It's Mail It In Friday.
I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Yeah, it's Mail It In Friday.
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
So what?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Made it back. We're back in the studio in Toronto.
Alive.
We're alive.
Barely.
We made it. We had a great time last night.
We did. What was the highlight of your night, Brian Hayes?
I'd have to say being on the ice in between the second and the third. Not before the game, not the puck drop, for the Buffalo Wild Wing wing eating contest, where we were all supposed to be out there as judges in our suits.
And yeah. Which we were not supposed to be out there, because I sent the email saying, we're not going out there.
You sent a no.
And we
guy.
Show up, and it's sure enough, you're going out there.
I had the one-day contract. What do you want out of me? I had to commit to that.
It was an obligation, contractually, for you.
For me, anyway. You guys just got roped into it.
Well, but we got roped in, all right. But
we were out there. Noodles and I were out there as suits. Brian Hayes and Jamie Noodles McLennan, and out comes Wild Bill.
Is that what his name was?
I think they missed an opportunity to call that guy Buffalo Bill.
I think so, too.
Don't you think the Buffalo Wild Wing mascot should be named Buffalo Bill?
100%.
He is a mascot, isn't he?
He is something special.
You came bombing out.
But did you, like, okay, so give us
Let's explain this,
exactly.
Because we were at the rink last night. As I'm sure most listeners know, we were there for Overdrive night. Shout out to the Barry Colts.
Yes.
Shout out to Scotiabank. The owners, the coaches,
everyone
from behind the scenes.
Everyone was great.
Our friend Melissa, who was hooking us up and was taking us all over
Brad.
The rink. Brad, who's a legend. They did such a great job. It's a great organization. It was awesome to be up there. So in between the second and third, they had a wing eating contest.
Yeah.
And they asked us to just be out there on the ice, and I said a few words on the mic. And while we're in a room waiting to go out there, O realizes that the Buffalo Wild Wing mascot costume or suit is just sitting in the corner of, like, the referee's dressing room.
Yeah, just hanging out.
He gears down in the room.
In the bathroom.
And puts on the mascot uniform and comes onto the ice.
It was brilliant.
It smelled like hot garbage, too.
I was just
going to
say.
That buffalo head, what was it, a buffalo?
I think it was a bison, wasn't it, or a buffalo? I guess it's
gotta
be a
buffalo
for Wild Wings, yeah.
This mask smelled like garbage. And that guy that, I guess he must own the costume, he is in for a rude awakening, because when I had to do the one final gear around the barrel, I heard a rip. And it was a significant one.
This bison
outfit is ripped.
Wow.
So you blew the ass out of it?
No,
or the
back. Like, Farley backed it.
Wow.
No way.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
That was good. Spectacular last night.
We got pictures of it.
I was waving at Craig Button in the stands, and he was he did nothing back.
But why would they expect you to be in the costume?
Yeah. I know. I thought about that after. Like, it's like a guy in a Buffalo uni waving at
Craig's
me.
Craig's probably like, what the hell's that mascot just sitting waving at me?
Why is that lunatic yelling and screaming and waving at me?
And we do have to get into Craig's behavior at some point.
Like, the only way I can describe it is catching your uncle in a rub and tug. Because that's how awkward it got.
I've never witnessed anything like this before. It was, again, we're waiting to go out onto the ice for puck drop. And Melissa, who works with the team, is kind of chaperoning us and walking us around the rink to get to the other side so that we can get on the ice and drop the puck. And we go through the green room, I guess.
We're wheeling around the hallways, and ahead of us in a room, we see Craig with his hockey colleagues.
But yeah, there's other scouts, and it's like this. It's where the scouts hang out. It's almost like the media room.
Yes, exactly. It's like the green room. Yeah, like it's the green room. Hang out down there. I'm sure you can read information. But maybe you talk to the coaches before the game.
Exactly. It's his wheelhouse because Craig is a scout. That's his home. We
and
walked
he
into
was
his home.
Mortified when we walked in there.
We were like, Craigie, what's up?
It was as if
I just described to you what it was.
That's the perfect analogy.
The look
catching
on his face.
Your Uncle Daryl at a rub and tug.
A perfect. But the thing is, though, if you catch Daryl, it's a two-way street.
That means you're there,
because
too.
You're there, too.
He's so looking at you going, what are you doing?
That
here?
Analogy doesn't
no,
totally
it
work.
It doesn't work.
Because
okay,
Daryl,
a one-sided tug encounter.
So you see your Uncle Daryl going in there, and
right.
You lock eyes.
Or walking out.
Yeah.
You're walking past
yes.
there, and you see old Daryl walk out, and you're like,
yes.
Really? I know
with
what's going
smile.
On.
Smile.
I know what the fluorescent massage sign means.
Well, yeah. I mean, Craig was, he's always dressed up, but he was dressed down last night, just casual. And he explained to us that he jumped in the car and just drove up to watch the game, but
he claims he knew we were up there. He claims he heard with Scotty Mack at 3:30 and then was listening to us on the way up. But his reaction was
shocking.
It was offensive.
Borderline offensive.
It didn't fit the narrative, because usually he would have jumped up, hey.
We get high fives, hugs in
we
here.
We always get hugs and high fives. He kind of gave us like a left shoulder check and was like, what are these idiots doing here?
Should we call Craig and be like,
well, we're going to have to get,
we might have to call him and be like, you got to explain exactly what was going through your mind when you saw us.
Yeah.
Three idiots walking out to drop the puck. You knew we were there.
On Brian Hayes night.
On Brian Hayes appreciation night. And Overdrive night, and
I
we
think
met a
he
bunch
tried
of people
to make peace when he visited with us too.
Yeah, he came up in between the first and second, and was back to being jovial, fun-loving, good guy Craig. But
we
I
all
don't
love
know,
Craig.
Man.
I don't know anybody that dislikes Craig Button. So he's a man of the people.
He generally is, unless
I think
he's at the Barry Molson Center on a Thursday night.
I think he caught a glance of us and was like, I do not want to hitch my wagon to these idiots.
Well, that's the thing. I'd love to know who was sitting at the table with him. Like, were those Hall of Fame scouts or just dignitaries that he didn't want to be associated with us? I don't know what happened.
Probably
there.
Because he's sitting there talking about top prospects, and here we are celebrating your 47 games and the one assist, and they're making a big thing about it. He probably didn't want to be involved in it.
Probably
not. So he just said, you know what, I'm going to pretend like they're acquaintances. I don't really know them, but... and. Afterwards, you wonder what he said to those guys, like the guys at the table, like, yeah, I work with those guys.
I'd love to know that.
Show,
yeah.
Like,
when we left, what did he say to those people?
Mm-hmm. I would pay a lot of money for like
a closed caption camera,
like a mic was in there somehow and it picked up the conversation. I'll bet you he threw us right under the bus. And
like, yeah, I'm sometimes
like, imagine going into work and dealing with those three guys type of comment.
You wouldn't believe how I have to fake laugh with them all the time.
Fake friendship
with them all the time. Yeah, we might have to cold call Craig.
We might have to. I think he was flying to Pittsburgh today.
Really?
But I did give him the heads up. I'm like, you know, you may have to explain yourself. Because he still was basically... while he was in the box with us, kind of justifying the lack of response.
But I don't think it was a reasonable justification. Like, I don't think it worked. I don't think it answered our questions. So we'll get to the bottom of that. But we did have a great time last night.
We did.
And, you know, Barrie's a really cool town. A lot of people got out there. They won an overtime. Pretty good game. We had a great night last night. And we're having a good day so far today. Not quite Russell Westbrook type day. Have you seen the contract that this guy just signed?
$205
million. Five years, $205 million. On top of what he's already getting this year. And this year he's making like a fortune. The biggest deal in NBA history. 5 years, $205
million. So does that just push the bar up?
Well, Steph Curry just signed 5 years, $201 million, I think. So somehow Westbrook is going to make four more million over those 5 years. But yeah, I guess it just keeps going and going and going. And they got all that team TV money a couple of years ago that boosted the cap so high. And, you know, it's interesting. I got to give credit to Sam Presti, their GM, and that organization, because Hunt and I were talking about it earlier.
Yeah.
When Durant left, it felt like that team was just going to disappear. Mm-hmm. Like, disappear, because it always felt like Westbrook would walk, and he's an L.A. kid. He grew up a Lakers fan. A lot of people thought he would eventually become a free agent and dust off out of Oklahoma City and go to L.A. Not only did that not happen, they kept them, they signed them long-term, they acquire Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, and Oklahoma City's a team you want to watch.
I'm not the best at math, but is that 41 a year?
Yeah. 4 times 5 is 200. Add the 1 times 5, and there's 5.
41 million a year.
41 million.
Is that one more than Goodell?
Goodell made like 47 or 49. Was it 44? Think about that. The commissioner gets paid more than the MVP.
We joke around.
No, if I'm the, I don't know how the owners sign off on that. I don't care how much money he makes for the league or the league generate. I'm not paying a commissioner $44 million a year.
By all accounts, that is a point of contention. Like, he's working on an extension now. And I think it was Jerry Jones that was linked to this, who I guess has said, if not publicly, certainly privately, like, why are we paying this guy that amount of money? That's crazy. Yeah. Like, you could cut that in half, and he's still making a fortune.
You're right. The only thing is this guy knows where every body is buried for all of these guys. Let's not forget, the stuff that makes it to the public is under scrutiny. Guaranteed, there's stuff that doesn't make it out to the public that this guy is. That's the one thing, when you're behind the scenes, there are so much more layers that go on. So they've got to be careful with that. I mean, what does Gary Bettman make? I thought it was 20.
No, I don't think
he's like
that
8
high.
Or 9. Oh,
he's in single digits, I think.
I thought it was 20 for some reason. Nope.
Maybe the most recent, maybe he's got bonuses and stuff. I don't know all the details, but
yeah.
I remember at a point reading that he was 7, 8, 9
I thought it
million.
Was 8 at one point, but I thought for some reason.
That seems absurd, too. 20 million if it is for Bettman when he's overseeing the fourth or fifth most popular league. Like, wow. The one thing is about Goodell, the NFL does make billions and billions
prints
of dollars.
Money.
It prints money. So I'm sure his contract is connected to the amount of money that's pouring in and the revenue and all that kind of stuff. But I don't look
at these commissioners, like Gary Bettman, regardless of what you think of it, from an owner's perspective, he's grown this league a lot. And so if his salary is either tied to how much it's been grown or just where the league is at right now, like they're doing all right. Yeah, there's a lockout looming, which pisses people off. But from a business standpoint, there's a lot of owners, I would think.
I love that talk, how it's already known that there's going to be a lockout.
There better not be.
Guys are signing contracts, and there's lockout-proof money, and it's like, there's going to be a lockout. It's ridiculous.
Why would you think there wouldn't be? Like, Bettman signed an extension specifically to get to that negotiation.
Right.
And what has he taught us in the past?
He's going to use that.
His number one move is lockout.
But this is
so where, why would we expect anything different?
Because I'm hoping that you get a lot of smart people in the room to circumvent this and preemptive strike. Didn't the NBA do that?
They did. Baseball did that.
And these sports, I mean, Adam Silver's a progressive guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these sports that are ahead of the NHL, if they can get it going, the NHL has to find a way to get it going.
You would think so, Noodles. I'm with you, man. It makes too much sense. But I've thought that in the past, and still lockout, lockout, lockout.
Wow.
I wonder if owners would ever entertain the idea of treating commissioners almost like politicians, where there's like a time limit on how long you can be the commissioner. Like, in the States, president, you can be there up to 8 years. You can do 2 terms. Imagine a different commissioner, so a different set of ideas, values,
the scary
initiatives.
Part the scary part is if you get one that rocks the boat.
Or
the guy who's,
someone that's so good, you're like, why would we get rid of this guy because of 4 years? But I guess I'm just saying more pie-in-the-sky stuff. Like, in terms of creativity.
Yeah.
Like, I do think, there's no denying it when it comes to Bettman in the NHL. It has grown under his watch. There's no denying it. You can hate him as much as you want, love him as much as you want. You can't deny that he's been on the job for over 20 years, and when he got there, the league was here, and now it's all the way up here.
Expansion, he's getting the money. Like, there's so many things that he has done.
But there are also things that I think they've missed out on because he just puts his stake in the ground and is like, I'm old school when it comes to this, that, or the other. Yeah. I'm not going to change my mind. And I think, look at what Adam Silver's doing. Like, David Stern was a commissioner for like 30 years in the NBA, and it grew a ton when Stern was the commissioner. Now Silver's in, and it feels like a different league.
It does. Now, he initially wasn't one of his first biggest moves was getting the owner out in the Clippers owner.
Yes.
Correct?
Donald Sterling. Sterling. Now, Sterling kind of did that on his own.
No, I know. But,
or his
but
mistress kind of did
that. That was a sideshow.
It was a gong show, but how would you like that on your plate? Kind of your first big assignment is to deal with this nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, he did, and he came out strong, and I really think he set the tone. But I just feel like there has to be, and I know from an ownership standpoint in the NHL, for the most part, I think they're very happy with Gary Bettman. And I think Bettman is, they're trying to grow the game. They're chasing it in China. And we were talking about NHL games in China the other day. Would you hate to be there? You'd like to be there? But at least they're heading down that road. They're trying to grow.
They are. I mean,
I still think that... I'm thinking more like you, gambling.
Absolutely.
Get in there first.
Well, and that's something that Silver did almost on day one as well. He walked in and said, this is happening anyway.
Right.
Like, it's happening anyway. Why are we not going to benefit from this? They're using our platform and our service to generate millions and millions and millions of dollars. And people are going to do it anyway.
Right.
So why let all the casinos benefit from it or the bookies and all that? Why? The leagues could grow exponentially if they just accepted sports gambling, but they won't based on principle.
Right.
You know, they don't like the optics of it. They don't like the concerns over how it might infiltrate the sport.
I was just going to say, would that be opening the door technically for organized crime to kind of
mainstream? I've always argued the opposite, because you don't just legalize it, you regulate it.
How are you going to regulate it?
Kind of like what they're trying to do with pot here.
Exactly what they're doing with pot.
And like, you think that's going to be smooth sailing?
Well, there'll be some wrinkles, I mean, obviously. But like they said last week or whatever, they're going to charge a certain price. Like it's going to be $10 for a gram or whatever,
yeah.
Which is what you get on the street. So it's going to blow out the black market, ostensibly. Like it at least potentially can. Where if they came in and they were like, oh, $30 for a gram...
Yeah,
the dealer on the corner is like, oh, I'm still in business because I'm selling it for 10.
Right, right.
So, you know, in terms of regulating it, if you are tracking the numbers, you know where the money's coming from.
Yeah.
And that's when you can really trace, that's how they trace what's going on or if something shady's going on. Because out of nowhere, they're like, wait a minute, this game just, someone just bet $5 million from Singapore on this game. Like, how did that happen? Something shady's going on. If you're regulating it and watching where the numbers are going, I think you can have a pretty good idea of how safe it is, quote unquote.
It would eliminate the guy in the Adidas tracksuit named Joe Colombo.
Well, that guy's out there anyway, though, right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's there anyway.
Yeah.
So you just allowing your fans, I'm not saying you change the way you handle your players.
Right.
The players still can't gamble on the sport, and you got to be diligent on that point and make sure that is regulated and that doesn't change. But fans, they're doing it now anyway. All you're going to do is if you legalize it and regulate it, you're going to get a piece of the pie.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's what's happening with marijuana. Like, the government's finally like, I guess we'll just take the hundreds of millions of dollars in money that we're going to get here and hopefully they spend it appropriately and put it back into infrastructure and schools and hospitals and all that, which I'm sure they will.
Air conditioning in schools.
Air conditioning in schools.
Smarten up with that.
I got to get back to a moment on the ice that was a little bit of a spicy meatball.
Was it the jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got presented Brian Hayes jerseys, and I'm looking at the jersey. I don't want to put this thing on in front of 4,000 people. Because if it was too tight, I would have looked like an idiot. And some guy in the crowd yelled, put the jersey on, O'Neal. And I had to put it on.
Were you terrified that you'd have a Farley moment?
I was horrified. I didn't want to put the jersey on.
I personally was holding it too because I thought these look small. Like they looked optically small.
Well, imagine how small it looked to me.
Mine was huge. Like I put mine on and it was like a dress.
They ended up being huge because mine fit big over my suit as well. But just, I don't know if it was the dark jersey or something, to me looked small. And I was like, these aren't going to fit us.
Yeah, I know. I had a similar concern because we were going to put them on over our suit jackets. So that's a gamble. You're boxy to begin with.
Okay.
But I felt okay when I looked at it. And I'm like, you know what? I'll lead the charge here. And then Nunes, you jumped on board. That would have been quite the scene, though. Like if one of us, or O-Dog in particular, could only get it halfway down the boiler and it just
incident.
Got stuck. And your arms got stuck.
We had to come over and help him.
I just tip him over. Imagine I just pushed you over.
Because, I mean, they were announcing, we're walking out on the ice. I go out first, and they're like, we're going to be celebrating the wonderful career of Brian Hayes. 47 games, one assist, plus one.
Plus one. Yelled, I was on the yelled, plus side.
The guy yelled, plus one.
Yeah.
And I was looking across to the benches.
They were like, what the hell's going on here?
Well, at least the guys on the Colts knew it was happening. Like, if you think the Sioux Greyhounds were like, hey, you know,
not
I'm
going to
give you a heads up.
Not a clue. I'll bet you they had no idea it was coming.
The look on Joe Cirilla's face. Now, that guy's a grizzled old NHL veteran who looks crabby on the best of days. Kind of got a Belichick look to him.
They had enough.
Yeah.
They wanted
eyes.
To drop the puck.
Yeah, they were like, let's go. We drove all the way from Sault Ste. Marie for this. It's like a six-hour drive.
And then they're like, the guy who took the face off for the Sioux, it was like the monster player skates over. He's sitting there looking at us like, who are these
this
idiots?
Is the dumbest ceremonial
it was good,
puck drop in the
it
history of
it was an outstanding
hockey.
Ceremony.
It was great.
Outstanding.
Well
People
done.
People got pictures and sent it to us.
Where's our jerseys?
Well, Keith has them. He woke up in Lake Superior today. I don't know where Keith is.
Cement shoes Keith.
Yeah.
The grappler.
Yeah, Keith had himself an evening last night. And I feel I'm a little bit nervous because he's responsible for our stuff. He was there opping the show for us. And then he had the car. And after the game, we're like, can you take the jerseys and make sure they get back to Toronto for us?
Right.
And even that, he was like complaining about it. He's like, I got no room.
So
I'm like, what are you talking
I got a full
about?
Car. I'm like, what does he drive?
No kidding.
A Pinto?
Yeah. Like
it can't be any smaller than that. Go-kart we went to the rink in.
That Uber car.
The Uber.
I don't know what kind of car was that.
It was
though?
Like a Colt or something.
Yeah, it was a Dodge Colt or something.
It was a Dodge Colt, but it was an electric car.
Yeah.
But it felt like an Austin Powers situation. Like, we were jammed in there. Like, you're a big guy. Oh, we're decent size, but Keith is a big guy,
Keith
too.
Is bigger than all three of us. He's a monster.
Rammed into this
He's
vehicle.
He's an animal.
How about Marty, the Uber driver? Our original Uber driver, who hates Uber more than anyone else on earth.
But he's going to come out with a new company to bankrupt Uber.
That's right. He gave us the whole business spiel.
Marty,
he started talking right when we got in that car.
I hate to tell you, Marty, but you are full of crap.
Yeah, I don't see it happening,
He was
Martin.
Trying to use big words and all this nonsense.
He had it all planned out, didn't he? Like, he's going to be the richest guy in the world.
I didn't want to burst his bubble, but I wanted to say, hey, Marty, if your idea was that good, somebody would have did it already.
No.
So
no, he's got it all figured out. Uber drivers who just despise Uber.
Yeah,
it's quite the conversation starter. It's a real icebreaker. It's like, thank you. Anyway, Leafs in action tonight. Jays just wrapped up an afternoon game. They lose 4-0 to the Yankees, but... We'll get to future headlines later in the afternoon. We've got to pull up what would be the most shocking future headline or sports headline on Monday morning.
Are we doing five-pack Friday at some point?
Yeah, we got to get to a five-pack. We're still trying to narrow down some ideas.
Well, we've got some ideas, but we got to figure out where we're going to head.
Yeah.
And Darren Rovell just tweeted out that Russell Westbrook will make $569,512 per game.
Wow.
It's a good chunk.
Imagine walking into a rink. Or a stadium, and be like, I'm making 500 grand tonight.
Yeah, but
like Springsteen doesn't do that.
Those soccer players do that.
Yeah,
like
Ronaldo can make some cash.
These guys are making 40 million euros, are they not?
Some of them, yeah. Like, I don't even know what Ronaldo would be making, but it's probably ridiculous.
And on top of that, they've got endorsement money that just makes their salary look ridiculous.
Yeah.
So,
they're on a different level. They're on like an international level.
Bon Jovi played in front of 120,000 people the other day.
How much money do you think John walked away with?
I don't know.
But they got to pay the whole band
they do,
and the promoter.
120,000 people. I think it was in Rio. David Bryan, their keyboardist. I've crossed paths with him, so I follow him on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, great night. 120. It was ridiculous.
That's wild. 120. We thought we were big shooters. There were like 3,100 people there.
Yeah, it was 3,100. That was a big night, though, the Brian Hayes appreciation.
Yeah, it was fun to be out there. Shout out to the Colts. And exactly. We'll keep talking about our night last night. And got to get into this report, courtesy of USA Today, linking the Cardinals with the pursuit of Josh Donaldson. And Leaf fans are in fine form. I got the most ridiculous Leaf-related tweet I've received in quite some time. We'll tell you about that next. So a lot of people are pointing out Russell Westbrook signed this deal today. By all accounts, it's been in the works for a while, maybe in front of him for a while. And people are trying to connect the dots because today is Kevin Durant's birthday. I don't buy that. Like, everyone's like,
these idiots.
It's so petty, and that's why he did
it. That stuff
and
is quite petty.
Think about what Kevin Durant did on Twitter. You don't think that's petty? Think about it.
But I don't understand how this gets back at Durant. Like,
I don't know.
What it's your birthday, and I'm going to sign my contract.
Steal a thunder type of thing?
Like,
but what? I don't get it.
After what Kevin Durant did on Twitter, are you surprised by anything?
I guess I'm not surprised by anything, but my point is, I don't see how this would be a shot at Durant. Durant's sitting there like, okay, where's your ring?
Yeah.
And Durant could have got this money too, but he decided to take less to be on the better team.
Well,
but I don't know. I don't see how this is like, wow, what a shot at Kevin Durant on his birthday. Like,
well, guys unfollowing each other on Instagram. Isn't that how they started to scoop the Cleveland trade?
Yeah, that was, what was that again? That's happened on a couple of different occasions where someone started following a free agent, and it's
right.
Like, that's why we know now he's going there or whatever.
It's just, it's ridiculous how petty it can be, but that's how close people are tracking things. Like, somebody actually took the time to go figure out that Durant had another Twitter account.
That I could understand, though. That was interesting.
But then
that's not hard to figure out.
But then once he tweeted from
his
own.
When he thinks he's tweeting from his different one, and it's from his own.
Yeah, when he's speaking in the third person. I think people started to connect the dots. Anyway, I'll get to this Leaf tweet. I want to get into the Packers-Bears game last night, specifically the hit on Davante Adams. And, man, it was a monster. It was scary to see his mouth guard just fly in the air.
I heard Mitch Berger on, and he's like, I believe him when he said he didn't mean to hit him like that. What are you talking about? What do you mean you didn't mean to hit him like that?
I want to play the audio. Danny Trevathan, who was talking about it afterwards, we'll hear the audio. We've got some Trump audio that we got to play, and I'll read this crazy Leaf fan tweet in 2 minutes. All right, so the Leafs are playing tonight. They play tomorrow. Tonight, the big boys are going down to Detroit.
Right.
Which means tomorrow, it's not going to be much of a lineup, you would assume. I mean, these guys aren't going to play back-to-backs. And
we might.
If a couple guys have bad games, maybe Babcock will decide to send a message.
Babcock would play Marlowe's line back-to-back just to send a message.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's all back-to-back. Like,
I wouldn't.
Big boys go back-to-back?
I wouldn't.
Why would you do that, though?
Like, you got to play when, like, let's get going here. Get one game in, get through healthy.
I am officially sick of the preseason. I can't talk about Eric Fair and Altonen,
and Dominic Moore, who's
and
playing
Rosen
tonight.
And Bohr. I'm sick of it. I want to see NHL hockey, and I'm sick of this nonsense.
Tell us who's
another
on the team.
Thing that I'm sick of, and it took a very short amount of time, is this cafeteria we got over here. You know what they should call it? Detroit Red Wings, because it's a beautiful structure, and it's a joke. I just ordered a burger. They're 4 days open. And he goes, we're out of buns. Really? You're out of buns? You've been open for 4 days.
That's amazing.
Maybe it's been that popular.
I don't know. How do you run out of supplies 4 days in?
They got a salad bar. They shut it down at 2 o'clock. Thanks for the rest of the people that work at 4.
Well, explain what your burger turned out to be.
Two, like, destroyed pieces of bread. Like overcooked,
like the bums of it, the edges of the bread.
Yeah,
and it just honestly, it tasted like crap, like garbage. 4 days old, and they don't have buns.
Yeah, that is a shocking revelation. 4 days in. You've been closed for 3 months. Load up on some buns.
Never again.
Come on now.
Never again.
All right, so we're talking about Babcock and messages being sent, and he's almost called out everybody in camp.
Yeah,
everyone's got to be better. Everyone's not working hard enough. He's back to being the old school grit grinding Mike Babcock, and at least one Leaf fan has decided that that's going to be a problem. So, At the Road Crowd sent me this tweet. As much as I hate to say it, it's the beginning of the end for Babcock. He's now starting to pressure guys, and they get sick of it. So here we go. The clock is ticking on Babcock here in Toronto. Why can we not just sit back as Leaf fans and people in the city and say, you know what, they got a really good thing going here. Let him coach. Let him do his thing.
We'll throw this guy one bone, and we'll do a quick little nugget on it. How many years contract did he sign? Eight?
Yeah, it was an 8-year deal at $6 million per, I believe.
And he's in year three?
Year three.
Yep.
Over under in years of five for Mike Babcock.
That he'll still be here 5 years from now?
5 years from now? Or
5 years total.
Year.
He's already in year three.
Oh, yeah. Over, he'll go way over that. He's not going anywhere. Nor should he. He's a great coach. This is what they brought him here for. The first 2 years, they paid him all that money so that he could get through the first 2 years. You know, now it's like, all right, here we go. This is go time. You've got the talent. You're a good enough team. You're a playoff team last year. He's changing his routine, and he's changing the way he's approaching the team, and it's a good sign because he actually believes they're really good.
Yeah.
He was soft cop or good cop when they were brutal.
Yeah,
now they're good, and now he's bad cop sometimes. Well, that's the way coaches work.
He was building guys up when they needed to be built up, when they were trying to raise the stock of players they were going to move out. Now he's got his group, for the most part, for sure his core. He's going to have his thumb on it. That's why William Nylander, that's a guy for me, I don't know why. I think he may be a guy that is going to be in and out of Babcock's doghouse, and just because he's going to continue to press him for more and more. Matthews is such a responsible player, I think he's just going to coach him and help him continue to become great. I think Nylander, he may believe there's another level there, which we all think there is too, as well. He's proving it. But to achieve consistency and all of that, I think Babcock is going to be hard on him. Not Kadri hard. I think Kadri took a long time for Kadri for the light to go on with him. He had some off ice. He had some, remember Dallas Aikens called him out for being out of shape. Like, it's taken Naz a long time to become a really good pro. Now he's a good pro, and you see he's a really good player. I think Babcock's going to be on Marner and Nylander and Riley to a point.
Well, and I wouldn't take Matthews out of that. I mean, I think he's got to be consistent with all his guys. I mean, you can't create something that isn't there. But Matthews is going to have off nights.
Oh, for sure.
He's going to have bad stretches. He's going to take a dumb penalty. And at that point, Babcock will get on him too.
Somebody from my work is calling me right now. Who would do that?
Answer it.
I'll bet you I know who it is. Probably someone at the CAF.
Hello? Yes?
Who
it's
is
not
it?
Not from work. They're towing his car, probably. why did you park right outside the door?
This is security.
Are you downtown?
Who is it?
Why is it? Listen.
Yeah, I'm at Agent Gum. I'm on the radio right now.
We are at Mail It In Friday.
Can they come to the radio office?
Please inform the audience on who that is.
I don't know.
What did they want?
I have some things that were dropped off.
Oh, and it's a high priority?
I got an email. There was a shipment. There's a shipment for us.
So someone that works in the company.
She's across the road.
And she called.
I had to inform her that I was on the radio, and she said sorry.
And did she hang up or did she keep talking after that?
She hung up.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry about that.
Riveting radio.
Yeah, exactly.
We're really on fire this afternoon.
I'm a joke today. I'm mailing this one in. I'm no good.
No, you got to get back on track here.
Exactly.
We got Ray coming up. Let's reset. I want to play the Danny Trevath. I can't even pronounce this guy's name.
Athanasiou?
No. The hit on Devontae Adams. We'll talk about the hit last night, the reaction to it, how the NFL is going to handle it. And
don't you think it should be a lengthy suspension?
Well,
that guy could have died.
We'll listen to the explanation, and we will talk about how we think this is going to be handled, how it should be handled. Because it was
a gruesome. Did you see the mouth guard fly out of the guy's helmet?
It was tough to watch. There's no question. But it's football. We'll get to that next. Race coming up in about 15 minutes. Marcellus Wiley will join us in just under an hour. Packers with a big win last night. And because of the delay, we got a chance to catch a good portion of the game. And Packers beat up on the Bears, and Aaron Rodgers was unbelievable. As you would expect, Packers are humming now. But the big story is the hit on Davante Adams. And if you missed it last night, take our word for it. It was tough to watch because Danny Trevathan hit him. And he went down. He was out. And like Jordy Nelson was yelling at the sidelines immediately. Like, he's done. He's out. And it was the full stretcher routine right to the hospital. By all accounts, he's okay, but he's not going to play anytime soon.
Right.
And the hit is being debated in terms of what the NFL should do about it and what the NFL actually can do about it, because it's difficult to explain on the radio, but
right.
Adams was trying to extend the play. He tried to spin out of tackles, and Trevathan was launching towards him, and he connected right, like, helmet on helmet. It was, again,
it's ugly.
As connected as you can get. Let's hear what Trevathan had to say after the game, trying to explain it. And this was him kind of pleading to the NFL, almost making his case for the hit and how he hopes it won't lead to a suspension.
I regret, you know, just the level I hit him at. You know, I could have been a little bit better, but you got to understand, I was in the momentum and I was just trying to make a play. Nothing intentionally, you know, it happens in this game. Hopefully they see that. You know, it wasn't intentionally, just trying to make a play.
And this is the most difficult thing for the NFL to deal with.
I'm not buying that.
But it's such a fast sport. It's such a fast sport. And I get the impression like he'll probably get suspended for the sake of suspension because the hit looks so bad and the outcome.
If a hockey player goes in the corner 100 miles an hour and cross-checks a guy from behind, head first into the boards.
Right.
What do you think he's going to say? Well, they got to understand it's... No, you're
responsible. Cross-check is different. Cross-check is different. You've done that consciously with your stick.
Okay, hitting a guy from behind.
Hitting a guy... if the guy spins at the last second, it's really difficult to get
that out of the game. This is the farthest thing from a guy spinning around at the last second. He had him in his sight the whole way.
But Adams was turning. He was spinning out of another, almost like a pile. Like, it's just... I don't honestly know how you get these plays out of the game. Like, but be honest, even if they suspend them, how's that going to stop the next guy from launching into a pile to try to make a tackle?
Well, the only way you can do it is you hope that the money lost is a message for guys not to do it. And if they don't want to lose the money, they'll keep doing it.
It's just a real problem in the NFL.
It's a real slippery slope because, you know, in watching it, yes, it's a gruesome hit. But... a lot of it, like anything, I'll just bring it back to hockey, is timing, right? The timing of this hit. The guy is on his way down, and...
he's launching at him to make a tackle.
You also have to be responsible. That's the thing. You have to be... the person hitting has to be responsible, and it's just unfortunate. You hope that everyone's all right in this scenario.
Well, of course, but I listen, obviously that's the case, but it's just one of those things. The difference between football and hockey is that in football, only one side of the ball generally hits.
Right, right.
Right. In hockey, everyone at any point can hit, and everyone knows how to hit or knows how to take a hit. In football, only the defenders really obviously lay out big hits for the most part. So the defensive side of football and defensive players are always feeling like they're under attack because their explanation is, the game is so fast.
Right.
I got to make a tackle. And if a guy moves while I'm already in momentum, what do you expect me to do?
Right.
So I just don't know how the NFL gets rid of that. I don't know how the NFL can possibly expect suspending this player is going to lead to this not happening next week because the game is so fast and it's so physical. And the objective is to get some guy on the ground. And if Adams is trying to make a move, and he moves at the last second as well. It's almost one of those things where you got to say, that's the game.
Yeah.
That's the game. Like, because I listen to him. You don't buy it, but I listen to that explanation, and I'm like, I kind of get it. He's launching Adams.
No, the reason he's doing that is because he doesn't want to. He's. But what if you want him to tell the truth, he's like, look, I made a dirty hit, man, and now I don't like it very much. I feel bad about it. That's basically what he's trying to say.
But is it a dirty hit if, again, when he was going to make it, he wasn't thinking.
Right.
He launched his helmet into the other player's helmet.
But they all launch that way. Like, they all launch. Like, if Adams is standing upward as opposed to dropping, it gets him in the chest. You know, right. And that's the problem. I'm sure we've all been in that situation. Maybe not Noodles as a goalie, but you've thrown hits where the guy moved at the last second, and you're like, it turned out to be a dirty play, but it wasn't.
I don't think this is the same scenario as a guy turning his back towards a guy the last second.
But I think if his head is at one level and then it comes down because of a tackle.
The way I saw the hit is he took an opportunity to knock a guy's block off, and he did it. It was like they talk about the predatorial hit. That's what I saw there.
And if that's the way they see it, then they should throw the book at him. And they will throw the book at him. But its intent is impossible.
I want to ask Marcellus, and you have to describe to him that you think it was just part of the game, and I think it was a predatorial hit.
He's the perfect guy to ask because he's thrown a million tackles.
I'm starting to get back into the show, and I've been good the last 3 or 4 minutes.
I like it. That phone call changed the whole afternoon.
It's a game changer.
You answering the phone on the air changed the whole afternoon. All right, Ray's coming up. Marcellus Wiley at 4:40. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.